Welcome everyone to another episode, issue, whatever you want to call it, of the Comic Chronicle podcast. I am your host, society's mutant slash metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. And I have with me today a very special guest, my co-host, especially for what we're going to do today, Victor Hudgens.
What's up, folks? Victor Hudgens here, the Spokane Avenger, guys. How you guys doing today?
That is right, folks. We gave him his... He's so fucking legit now that we gave him his own catchphrase.
Still working on it, but I'll get it down.
Right? And if I seem out... I want to let this be clear on the show. If I do seem out of it, that is because... Well, I got coffee here, so that's okay. But if I do seem really, really out of it, that is because, folks, I just got done seeing Aquaman, and holy fuck, but it's not what we're here to describe today, because that holy fuck was good, but it's not what we're here to talk about today. On this Comics and Coffee talk show episode, it's not an interview, of course, Victor's here, unless Victor, you know, so we're looking at a very special thing, that a movie we both saw, and one that touched Victor. Victor's story is emotional on the movie, because, you know, he's a father. It's like, let that one be that. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. So we're right. Talking about Into the Spider-Verse today. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, recent animated film written by Marvel Comics and Sony. Sony's first good Spider-Man movie. That's really good. But Victor, man, before we dive into specifics here, because I got my notes on it. I got everything. Cause, fuck. What was your first impression, like your overall impression, just without putting too many details in there, Into the Spider-Verse, what you got?
Honestly, my first impression was, holy shit, I am watching a comic book.
Yes.
Just from the graphics and, you know, the way the movie was filmed and stuff like that.
The animation, superb. 4 years of work. Well done, Sony and Marvel. Everybody on this production. So well done. Like, it's insanity to me about this. It really is, because you're right. Absolutely right. Comic book come to life. The animation proved that, in the sense of there's a scene in there. This is so comic booky that there's a scene where Spider-Man, older Spider-Man from different, our kind of Spider-Man really, has a bagel, and it's like they're running from scientists with Miles. They're running from the lab and shit like that. He throws the bagel and it hits a guy in the head. And it's just like there's a sound effect that you see written on it that says, bagel.
So I couldn't help but giggle at that, you know?
Just... Yeah. And it says, the whip. Every time they're like, and you're doing it. The whip. And release. The whip. And it's like, oh, fuck. It's like so good. And it's just, I really enjoyed this movie. I give this movie... I'm heartening. I'm giving 10 out of 10. I'm giving it 10 out of 10, Spidey Webs. But you're right. I don't know what to dive into first, Victor. You got to help me out. Like, help me out, man.
I can figure it out because there's one. Okay. I couldn't really keep up with this film to an extent. But I do have a main question. I don't have any memory of this person, or maybe I just never read anything of him, but The Prowler.
The Prowler?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, first off, folks, help me out immensely with this, because I get so flabbergasted about this movie. This movie is in a different universe. This movie is not our Spider-Man. We'll get to The Prowler, don't worry. But this ties in. I'm like, Kevin Smith, I just talking around billion stories to get to the one. This is different universe. This is Miles Morales. So this is based off the universe, and Victor, you may recognize this or may not, is the Ultimate Universe. Ring any bells?
Kind of, sort of, actually, yeah.
There was the Ultimate Universe. So what the name of the universe is, whatnot. It's the new hardcore take on everything, and it's like a new version of the Marvel universe that they created. They had the regular one, then they had the Ultimate version. There was Fantastic Four, there was Spider-Man, there was X-Men, there was Avengers, but they were called the Ultimates instead. That book was fucked up, but it was messed up, a lot of the shit that happened in this series, and the series that there were, and the Spider-Man was the best one out of all of them. Like, the other ones are known for just being crazy. But Spider-Man was the best story, and it started Peter Parker at a young age and just being in. So that's what we see. Is we see Peter Parker started young. He moved on up. He had all these villains. It was a different universe and whatnot. One we're not used to. But then Miles gets introduced. And Miles Morales gets bit by the spider, becomes Spider-Man because Peter dies. And that's the ultimate universe that we have. That's our main character is Miles and whatnot. So that's, and it's always happened. Miles gets introduced. You can bet your ass, unless it's the 616, Peter's going to die. And so we have these new villains and whatnot to go with. I don't think Prowler's in 616. I don't think so yet. I might be wrong. Spidey fans, let me know. Fellow Spidey fans, let me know. But that's what the universe we have that we're given with here. And so Prowler is a villain from the Ultimate Universe. And, you know, with who he is, we'll get into later. But Prowler is one who's always been a Miles Morales villain. He's dealt with Spider-Man a little bit, but as you can tell in the movie, and then, folks, if you haven't seen the movie, go fucking see it. But as you can tell in the movie, Prowler, he even is like, Prowler, come on, man, like, come on. Because he just, like, Prowler's such a low-level villain. He really is. He's badass in this movie, don't get me wrong. It's like the theme song was eerie, but Prowler is a low-level villain from the Ultimate Universe that we have here. He's not the 616 main Marvel Universe that we're dealing with, folks. This is the Ultimate Universe. Just remember that. Keep that in mind, because Peter's dead, obviously. Although 616 has died a lot. But, besides the fact. And I do want to say, first off, is I am a lifelong Spider-Man fan. Spider-Man has always been with me because I felt like he was my Marvel cartoons. There was the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon I watched all the time growing up. And it was kind of Ultimate Universe, just different universe. And that's why I get introduced to so many different Marvel heroes. It was Spider-Man. And Spider-Man's always been there. The early from the movies from Tobey Maguire to everyone else. It's like, I've always...
My new favorite Tom Holland now.
Huh?
Tom Holland being one of my favorite Spider-Man.
Oh, fuck yeah. Tom Holland's the best live-action Spider-Man. It is without...
He fits the comic book description very well of the high school Peter Parker.
Yeah. When it comes to the animated versions, though... The one from the Spider-Man PS4 game is upmost the best one online. So it's kind of like he's the Kevin Conroy of Spider-Man. In a sense, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. So that's the universe. That's what I want to give that pretext. They say this is not the universe you know of. And they even use Coca-Cola, the brand, to fucking show that. Because our Spider-Man, at least I think it's trying to be the established 616 Spider-Man, I think. So it's kind of like the Spider-Man that we more familiarize ourselves with is a fucking mess. But we'll get into that later. Back to Prowler, though. Back to the Prowler. Prowler is that, and he's, spoiler, it's Miles, if you've seen the fucking movie, Miles' uncle. That he's always been that. And in the books, I don't think it was Prowler who died in the books, though. That's the fucked up part, is that Prowler died in this movie. But this is a review, folks, in case you haven't noticed. But the problem was his dad who died in the movie. And even in the PS4 game, his dad died. Nope, I didn't spoil that for you. Fuck. Hey. Fuck.
But, shit. That's pretty, interesting. Okay, so that kind of can't English today. That puts a few lines together for me there.
Yeah, but he's just like, he's basically kind of like the Catwoman of Marvel. Well, no, that's Black Cat.
Catwoman was DC, buddy.
If you made it, I'm saying, I know that. Universe.
Yeah.
And so, you just never knew anything about him. He was a new person for you, sort of thing?
To me personally, yeah. At least, you know.
Well, here's another one for you. There's another villain in this. The Kingpin's assistant. Do you know who that is? The gray guy?
Oh, dude, yeah. The one looks like kind of like Frankenstein almost?
Yeah. He's always gray in the books, and he always looks like that. Do you know who he is?
Hammerhead?
No. There is an Easter egg to Hammerhead, though.
Yeah, I did see that. We'll get to that part topic by the way. That was another cool thing I saw throughout the film as well.
It was. Before we get back on the track.
I can't remember his name. Holy crap.
Tombstone,
that's right.
Okay. Badass villain. He was in the Spider-Man PS4 game. And I won't say why or what he does, but he was in the Spider-Man PS4 game kind of on side missions, kind of like the Arkham games. Badass. I was like, holy shit. It's Tombstone. He just killed a dude. Fuck. And so And it's like, and Tombstone is in this, and he's like, I don't really want to do this. He's like, man, these people just fuck me up. I have, like, tough-ass skin and almost impenetrable. And it's, but these villains are screwing me up. Including one we'll get to in a minute, but...
I love what they do with Scorpion in the film, too.
Yes!
You know what? Made him look look more mutated, kind of.
Yeah, let's start with characters. We talked a little bit about animation, but let's start with the characters. So we're diving into characters, you couldn't tell. And villains of this. Yeah, villains. Scorpion was new Scorpion. It was a new take, and I didn't mind it. With him being basically like an android sort of thing. That was kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. That was kind of badass. He's mostly robot. And he was like Robot Scorpion, could do shit and whatnot. It was really cool.
Right.
And then we have... We'll save the big one for the last. And before we get to the big one, we're going to spoil one. But before we get to that one, it's all in part of the plan, folks. Before we get to that one, we're going to talk Goblin. Now, Goblin is one people are like, what the fuck? That is Green Goblin of the Ultimate Universe. He experiments on himself. He gets... Although he's never really that big.
He fully mutates, pretty much.
Yes.
Instead of the whole talking double personality, Dr. Osborn,
yes. The Ultimate Spider-Man universe is always one where he is just mutated. He's never that fucking big. Like, he's never big at all.
It made him look fucking yoked in here.
Oh my god. It was nuts. Like, he'll look like that in the books. Like, even in the cartoon, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh yeah, this is where I remember where it triggered a few memories when I saw him from some older episode stuff that I, you know, saw.
Yeah, that was, and he talked, and that was nice too. It wasn't like a raging monster. He's like, it ain't up to me, partner. And it was like, oh shit. And he's like, because these villains are all under the control. I have the total number here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motherfucker, we have the Sinister Six in a movie. Oh my god, yes, but we never saw them all together because Goblin died. That sucks, but makes sense because he's so damn big. It's gonna be tough, and he's gonna like, he's like a kaiju. It's nuts. But we had the Sinister Six in this movie, and it's gonna make me cry because I've always wanted the Sinister Six in a movie because they're so cool. It's like, come on. But yeah, Norman does that, and he's all big and fucking giant, like. And then we're going to move on to our second to last villain here. That is, I had no idea this person was in the movie. It was Dr. Octopus. Olivia Octavius. It was a female. Yeah. I'm like, when she's like,
oh. Female version.
Huh?
You have the female version of Doc Ock.
Yeah, which is, what did you think of that, by the way? What are you thinking?
That kind of tripped me out a little bit, too, and then all the little Easter eggs around her, too.
Yeah, like if you, I saw it twice, and it's like, if you look around, like, if you, like,
kind of, there's
like,
a lot of, yeah, that's the, yeah, what we, I said, we hit that topic if you want, but.
Yeah, well, you can even talk about it for this. It's like, you kind of saw it coming if you paid attention, but you paid attention to people's faces. So that's why, like, if you're not, then you're like, you know, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, her glasses were an octagon, and then her, headlights, or whatever, were in the shape of an octagon. Or,
yeah.
Number eights are all around, pretty much.
Yep, it's like
the final passcode that freaking Miles, or Peter, whatever, gave for the passcode was an eight and shit, and just the small stuff like that, dude. Just like, I was like, oh my god, everything just adds up.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit.
And there's many, many more too that you could just easily just bink, bink, bink. So oh, check many. That out! Check that out! Check that out! You know?
Yeah, they built the comic universe, which is dope. But this Dr. Octopus wasn't metal arms, ladies and gents. You've seen the movie. But, like, being... This is really a discussion more than a review. But being as they give her, like, these new tube-like rubbery arms, like tough, hard, and rubbery kind of arm things, badass. I like... That seemed more scary. Because it's like, it's plastic will choke you. And it's not like it's a magnet where you can... It's like, oh, shit.
Like, you can think about it, you know, with the original Doc Ock with the metal, you know you're just going to get wrecked with that. But with hers, it's like a throw-off, you know. She's, like, throwing everybody up, like, what the fuck are you going to do with that? The next thing you know, she's choking you out with some freaking rubber tubing.
Fuck, you got too kinky, man. You know that Olivia's into some weird shit. You know it. She's like, I have a dirty mind. I thought about it, because I'm like, wait, she's it? Oh, I know what those girls are like. Oh god. Look, Olivia's into some weird shit.
Oh, dude, and just the way the character was built together for her too is just freaking phenomenal. Her personalities, everything.
Spider-Man, who's like the bum Spider-Man, basically, bum Spider-Man. And he was, well, depressed Spider-Man, the midlife crisis Spider-Man. And he's like, just sitting there like, so let me guess, they call you Doc Ock? Nah, my friends call me Liv. My enemies call me Doc Ock. She's like, I'm gonna watch. She, when she said that, man, that line, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like immediately telling myself, what the fuck? When I was in the theaters of, when she's like, yeah, and it's gonna be so painful for you. And I just can't wait to watch. And you're gonna most likely die. And I just can't wait to watch. And he's like, Peter's like, what? And I was like, what? What? And I'm like, wait, what?
It's like female Doc Ock with the brain of Dexter.
Yeah, but they didn't tell you her name at all. Like, her name's even on the video. It says Olivia, but her Miles covers up Octavius. It's dope.
That was another indication too, that how she was an important character too. That how his character, how he stood in front of her name.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's like, who is this person? It just threw you off. But we're getting into that final. Moving on, the final villain of this movie. So I can recall, is the big, literally big, bad.
Kingpin, baby.
Yes. Yes.
That was amazing. It made him seem a little bit too bigger than he usually was.
You know what that was, though? That was a 90s comic Kingpin right then and there. That was fucking 90s comic of him being like fucking a built tank. And that's really, that's what I love about it, was that was a nod towards that. Like, there's nods towards the books in every retrospect, which we'll get to with the Spider family in a minute. But the fact is being, Kingpin made it, they made Kingpin look like he was in the 90s, like legitly, and it's like big fucking body, big head. Yeah, it kind of doesn't make any sense, but that's the comic book. That is the comic book that we had, that, you know, bled in a little bit of the 2000s. And now it's not like it at all in the past few years, many, a little bit more than a few. But that was a 90s Kingpin. That was fucking amazing. And he was badass. He was such a bad, like, all right, people... We know the Kingpin. Obviously, if you don't know, Kingpin is in the Daredevil TV series on Netflix. Well, rest in peace. I love you with a passion. Daredevil TV series on Netflix. Big ass villain. But people think it's only Daredevil because of that show. Fuck no. He was originally Spider-Man, if I remember correctly. He's a Spider-Man, and basically he fucks up everyone who works in Hell's Kitchen.
He gets involved with a couple people besides, you know, even I think. There was somebody else he got involved with besides Daredevil and Spider-Man, if you remember.
Everybody. He's fucked around with everybody. Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Moon Knight. He fucked around with everybody. And he's such a badass. And you just love him. And I know people have their hate on the Netflix one and whatnot, which I get. I understand in a sense. But this was a comic book Kingpin that we've seen. Early 2000s, a 90s Kingpin. You know, and he was such a badass. The voice actor, which we'll get to acting right after this. Or was it going on the heroes in a minute, but like it was just astounding to me of what they did with Kingpin. And they're like, listen, you think, and it also, Victor, what do you think about this? It shows that they're willing to do Kingpin in different stuff than Netflix. And with Netflix being canceled, do you think we'll see Kingpin in the MCU? He's already technically in the MCU. I know those movies are connected.
Yes. Once that happens, I see a lot of great opportunity. Honestly, after that happens on Netflix,
put him in Spider-Man. With all that being put him in Spider-Man 2.
That just opens. I mean, that doesn't mean it's gone. You know, people think it's going to be gone forever. No, that just leaves the door open for it to transfer over somewhere else. Someone else will take up the mantle and do a bunch of amazing things with it.
I respectfully decline that offer of someone else taking up the mantle of the Kingpin.
Oh no, not what I mean by someone else. Like another, you know, network letting it be.
Aired. Oh, okay, so, okay. I was like, sir, those are fighting words.
I'm terrible at wording. No, definitely not. No, that's not what I meant at all.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin. He's the live-action Kingpin.
Yeah. So, you know, if Netflix wants to throw it out the door, by all means, go for it.
Then yeah.
Another network will take up the mantle. Maybe Hulu might put it on there.
Disney, put him in Spider-Man 2. It'd be so cool. Take my money. You'll have it all. Everything I own. I've heard the rumors on Spider-Man 2 going on right now. Far From Home. And Mysterio's already in it. And then they're fucking putting Hydro Man in there. If you're putting fucking Hydro Man in an MCU movie for Spider-Man, you better put Wilson Fisk in there. Just saying.
Just saying.
You're going to have a lot of angry people who are Spider-Man fans. But... yeah, I know, that's crazy, and, oh, man, we gotta get the heroes, we gotta keep moving, we spent 20 minutes already on it, the heroes, so man, the Spider family, dude, I'll name them off very quickly here, we had Penny Parker, from the different anime, basically anime Peter. And then we also had, I want to save the best one. We had Spider Pig, or Spider Ham, right? Spider Ham,
which is Porky Pig. Yep.
Yeah, they made a Porky Pig reference, Porky, and that was Pig, the best fucking joke in the movie, almost. Do you remember that?
Yep, Space Jam joke, I think it was.
No, it was like, no, that's all, folks. And he, like, drifted off in the end. He went to the portal. And, like, Spider-Man, like, bum Spider-Man was like, is he even allowed to say that legally? And it's like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's true.
I wash my hands, I promise.
Is yeah, it's I just wash my hands. I promise. And it's like, oh, fuck. And I found out about that, by the way. They actually hand-drew a shit ton of Spider-Ham. They hand-drew a lot of it and then edited it into the movie. Like, him moving, like, cel-shading, like, classic Looney Tunes and classic cartoons. They actually went classic with it and then put it into the movie. I'm like, that's dope. That's cool. Like, come on.
Hey, why not? Hey, stay classy, right?
Right? It makes sense for the character. Like, he's the cartoon. It's like, he looks like the more, it's like the, there's even the joke Scorpion makes. It's like, yeah, some kind of cartoon, and he just, wait, some kind of cartoon? I don't know, I can't do Spanish accent. And Spider-Ham's like, you got a problem with cartoons, bud? And it's like, well, it's not a mallet running. I mean, this movie's so fucking good. Like,
oh. Yeah, right, they nailed the personalities of everybody else.
They did! And moving on from the Spider family, we had Penny Park, we had Spider-Ham, we had Spider-Man Noir, which was voiced by Nicolas Cage, which was amazing.
I knew that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah, it was Nicolas Cage at all things. He's played Superman, and he, you know, he's supposed to play Superman, if you know that one, from Superman Lives. But then he finally got to play in Teen Titans Go, and then he went to Marvel, and now he's playing Spider-Man Noir. I'm like, God. I was legitimately about to say, I wish I was Nick Cage. I kind of don't. Because he gets a lot of heat. This is kind of dumb. But moving on, so, like, Spider-Man Noir, man, like, talk about him for a second. Like, Penny Parker I love, but I don't know much about Penny. She's also in the books. Like, all these characters are in the damn books. Like, this is Into the Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is, very, cover this for just a second. You know the story, Spider-Verse. Alrighty, folks, don't you dare just go yet, because I have with me a special guest. Now, do you have some landscaping problems? Do you have something that, you know, you need some help with in the good old-fashioned outdoors? Well, I have with me here today a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Jesse Ewing. I'm the owner of Ewing Land Management, LLC.
That's right, folks. Right now, this can be considered a sponsor. Jesse here is a sponsor of us. Ewing Land Management is a sponsor of the Comic Chronicle podcast. And, you know, we wanted to bring him on here today because, you know, people need help. And Jesse needs work as well. So it's all, those two and two, they work together sort of thing. Today, folks, and Jesse, kind of give a backstory. What is Ewing Land Management?
Ewing Land Management is a young and growing company. We specialize in basically everything to do with tree care, removal, pruning, planting, pest diagnosis, hazard diagnosis, and mitigation, and some general landscaping services like FireWise, you know, thinning brush for fire safety and things of that nature too.
So things that people desperately need. So, that's what you do. Now, you've been doing this for how long?
Just about 20 years.
About 20 years. So, let's just say, folks, he's experienced. He's very experienced. Now, where exactly do you operate?
We operate out of Payson, Arizona. We operate in basically the greater Arizona, the whole state. We also operate in New Mexico and parts of California.
All right. So, folks in those areas, give Jesse a call. Now, where can they contact you at, Jesse?
You can contact us at 928-363-1893. You can contact us through our website, which is www.ewinglandmanagement.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page at Ewing Land Management LLC.
And, folks, that's where you can find Jesse at today. And make sure you guys give him a contact. You hit him up, go whatever. You can also check out the website as well. Be sure to check out that website, ewinglandmanagement.com, because you guys can see all of his work that he's done so far. You can see how they operate, equipment, and everything else as such. So, folks, make sure you go check him out. Now, back to the show.
There's a series, the mini series that came out a little bit ago.
I know about it, but I never really read it.
It's worth a read, and there's like get these Spider Family characters times 100, and they all got to go. They've got these like we'll cover it on Comics and Coffee when you read it. But this that will be one we got to cover in there because that's a whole fucking episode on the Spider-Verse. But there's no there was like 1,000 more of Spider characters in the book, but. Spider-Man Noir, did you know anything about Spider-Man Noir then? That's dark kind of like 1920s series, like Marvel's
take? Talking about the one that was looking like he can hold damn Tommy gun like Al Pacino?
Yeah. I hold matches and I wait for the pain.
I've seen him. He was in that one, like kind of like a little few episode long series on the Spider-Mans I was watching.
That was their version of the Spider-Verse, by the way. With Spider-Verse, I believe, was coming out at the same time. And so they actually had, they kind of tied it in a little bit too.
Yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge on Spider-Man Noir, though.
Yeah, I mean,
but he seems like he's got a pretty damn crazy history in his universe.
It's cool. The book series is worth a read. If I remember, I don't remember where you're gonna get it. But you can probably see it online. But the Spider-Man Noir was Marvel's take on Batman Noir, because there was a Batman Noir book that came out, fucking ridiculous,
right? Good.
And then we had, here's the debate. You know, they're trying to say it doesn't matter, and it doesn't. But basically, everyone's like, bum Peter Parker. So it's older Peter Parker. Like, the one from the Ultimate Universe that died, he was sort of younger. He was like 10, 15 years younger than the one that comes to our universe that Miles meets up with first. We call him bum because he's depressed. He buried Aunt May. He fucking, Mary Jane divorced him, and he fucking, like, went on a bender, and he's just fat as shit from pizza. And it's like,
he was pretty, I could tell he was total spiraling depression, eating all that comfort food.
Yeah, he was a Spider-Man for like 25 fucking years, too. Like, I couldn't imagine the shit he's seen, especially if you know the books, like, by heart, like I do. Like, if I was Spider-Man and all that shit was at, like, the last thing he has is Mary Jane. And she's like, you know what, kids? Fuck you, I'm out. And it's like, no, because, no, this is the last thing he has, you know, like, Spider-Man's gone through some crazy shit, dude.
Well, you gotta think, though, he's living a double life as a human and a superhero, so he's going out on the lines.
He's an Avenger, and he's like, he's an Avenger and Hell's Kitchen hero.
Right.
Fuck, or a New York hero. Man, Victor, you gotta read Spider-Man comics, or watch Comic Pop, and watch them do their coverage on shit. I'll recommend it, that's later on. There's so, like, Spider-Man just goes through so much shit. It's crazy. I feel so bad. It's like,
I feel bad for not even keeping up on my Spider-Man comic.
What? No, I don't blame you. It's a lot. There's a lot of Spider-Man. There's a lot of books on it. They're so crazy. So that's the Parker. Huh?
Oh, no, go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say, that's the Parker that we get that comes in. They didn't say 616, which is fine. Fine, because I don't want that Peter. him being at the end getting retribution and whatnot too. I like that. Him being like, hey, you know what? I'll have a kid. And then he shows up at the doorstep of Mary Jane, who they made look exceptionally beautiful, by the way, which is what she's always been. Has been like this. She's fucking supermodel, or she's a super actress. She's a big time actress. And so like she just and like he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna do this. And he lost the weight. You could tell. He's like lost the weight and shit, and went in and it's like, yeah, we'll have kids. And so, but besides the fact. He's the one that trains Miles. He trains Miles with the help of the Spider Family, but he's a big motivational guy. He was going to get help from the big Spider-Man that he was going to know, but that one died. So, So, that was the Spider-Man that we have. And then we have Miles, who becomes Spider-Man of the universe. And his black suit, by the way, I've always been a fan of.
Badass, by the way. Yes.
And the message. I've always loved Miles since I first saw him. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was in a book. And every book I read him in is beautiful. Everything he's in a show in is beautiful. Everything he does is beautiful. Because Miles is the epiphany of the goddamn message. Because people are always like, no, Peter Parker's like, he's a white kid, whatnot. It's like, no, fuck you. And Miles Morales, do you get what Miles Morales really is?
See, that's where I'm having the issue.
The message, man, is this.
Handing down the mantle?
Nope.
No.
The message is this. Anybody can truly wear the mask. That's the point of this movie. That's the message behind it. Anybody can wear the mask. And anybody can be a hero.
Okay.
That's why they have all these spider people together. And that's why they have all these people. And that's why when we had the Stan Lee cameo, that made me goddamn shed a tear. Because I'm going to cover that really fast. Because they're like...
The comic book store owner.
He wasn't a comic book. He's just a costume store owner, which is more perfect. Yeah. And it's like, before that, you're crying because it's the funeral for Spider-Man. Like, when he got... I knew he was going to get killed. But then when, like, they killed him because Kingpin just basically brought his fist down and fucking just murdered him. And you're like... And I cringed. Almost as bad as when Thanos snapped. Cause I was like... I twitched. And I was like, fuck. And it was so... Like, I don't know if you had that reaction or not. And then, like, during the funeral, like, you just wanted to cry. And it was, like, the first 20 minutes. And did you have that feeling or not with that? Because we'll get to Stan in a minute. But, like, did you have that feeling with the funeral?
Kind of, sort of, not really. Not
damn it. It's just, damn it. I'm the puss. Right.
But I was, you know, it was intense. It was an intense moment. I mean, a big hero dying, you know.
Yeah, and everyone knew who he was. It's not like they're like, Spider-Man's dead, but we never know who he was. It's like, Spider-Man's dead. His name was Peter Parker. And it's like, Mary Jane's there giving the speech, and so is Aunt May's is in the back, and then him immortals all over the place, like his tombstone and shit, and that was good. But you get to the scene with Stan Lee. Man, how'd you feel?
That right there was a tearjerker.
Yeah, that was. And it's like, you heard the voice. He's purchased. He's like, you know, I knew him once. And you're like, oh. And then, like, at the end, I get it. Like, it was an emotional message, but mixed in a joke. Did you catch it? It was like, the suit always fits, eventually.
Right.
That was tying into the message of the film, that anybody can wear the mask. Anybody can be a hero. Anybody.
Yeah, see, now that I think about it, see, I didn't think about it then, you know?
Yeah, it's like a big joke that everyone just passes over. But it was such a legit thing and such a Stan thing of, like, here, I'm telling a joke, true believer. And it's like a joke, but it's a very important message, which it is. You know, the suit eventually fits. It's kind of like and you can take that into real life and reality in our whatever universe number you want to call it and say, you know what? The suit eventually fits. It always fits eventually because you always grow into what you're meant to be. You're always going to become that eventually. You will become that.
Right.
What your destiny is going to... What you're destined to be, what you make yourself out to be, your suit will eventually fit. And there we go, folks.
That was pretty deep.
Yeah! No, like, there's your deep motivational message for the day. Now, getting back into Spider-Man! Fuck. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm almost shedding a tear over here. I'm just trying...
I gotta raise a glass on that one.
Yeah, sure. Fuck. Oh, God. All right, we're going back into the movie.
All right, so we're
going on now. We got Mary Jane. We're talking about Aunt May was a badass in this movie. Before we get into anything else, I want to cover Aunt May because she was a little bit younger and a badass. She fucking, like, took a bat to Tombstone and knocked him out of her house. And there's a scene where they're all the scene, because you've seen it, I've seen it. The scene where they're battling each other in the house was badass. And Aunt May is like, seeing all her shit get destroyed. And she's like, fuck this. And she grabs the bat. She's like, I told you to get out. And she's like, fucking knocks things down. And he's like, what the hell?
Right, gotta give her some. And I was kind of glad to see her have a nice little scene like that go around.
Yeah. It was badass. I'm like, oh my God. She's so cool. And it's like, yes, Aunt May, fucking kick his ass.
And then I actually got shushed at the theater for doing that.
For what? For doing what?
We're like, swing, better swing.
Oh, they're like, shh. God, I wish that happened, man. I'm fucking interesting theater experiences as of late. So Ant-Man was badass, and it's like, tuning into that is I want to go over, and we're going to speed things up a little bit here, is the character actors. Like, the voice actors for this film. Oh, I loved them. I really did. I truly thought they were really goddamn amazing. What'd you think?
Yeah, I actually liked them, especially freaking seeing Lish. I can't pronounce his last name, but he played Sabretooth in the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie.
Oh God, yeah, and he was Kingpin in this movie. I can't think of his name. Or his last name. I haven't
thought about it. Yeah, it's Leaves, or Live, yeah. Leaves. spelled L-I-E-V.
Yeah, so. He was a good kingpin. He's, you know, he's what you expect from an animated kingpin. You know, he's got the New York accent. He sounds mobsterish and whatnot. And we know we glossed over the fact that there was actually a lot of death in this movie for an animated Spider-Man film. Like, everyone had somebody die. And it's like, shit. Because you remember, Kingpin, I actually felt like really emotional with Kingpin's story. Especially his flashback, because he was the reason why they were dead. Like, he killed Vanessa, and he killed his kid, basically. Just by being him. And it's like, fuck. And it, like, the flashbacks, and that's the only, you find out that's the reason why he's, like, destroying the multiverse. He's like, I just want my kid and my wife back. And it's like, it's all Spider-Man's fault. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, he'll do whatever it takes to get him to, you know, just coming from my father's perspective and husband's perspective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. He legitimately.
Really love your family. If you legitimately love your family like that, you'll go to the end of the earth.
Would you destroy the multiverse?
I don't know.
That answer is yes.
Situation, we'll see.
Yeah, and the NSA shows up, sir. So we need to have talk. We heard you on a podcast, and no.
Just saying.
You know what, though? I respect that. Myself, I'm not in those shoes. One day, not anytime soon, we'll get that. I'm knocking on any wood. I live an interesting life. Just going to say that. Not knocking on any wood. But, and so, I will be honest. I will be honest and frank, though, about this, is... The best voice actors, I want to say, I mean, obviously Nick Cage, and the ones that stand out for me, you know what, we forgot the fucking, you want, go the fuck back, Spider-Gwen, god damn it.
Yeah, Gwen Stacy's
version. Oh my god, and I love Spider-Gwen's, folks, I deeply apologize for this, we're just all over the place, but this is a discussion of the Spider, or the Into the Spider-Verse, it's not a review, it's kind of like a talk about, we're sort of reviewing a little bit of everything, it's comics and coffee, you know what you're getting into. You really do. And, oh, God, I love Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy, well, you know what, though? I love Spider-Gwen. I don't really, I like Gwen Stacy in the books. Oh, my God. There's a story in there with Gwen, an unknown story, thank God, for Gwen Stacy that.
You know what was really cool that they did with Gwen, the Gwen character?
What?
Was how she was in a band called the Mary Janes.
Yes, the Spider. But when they were introducing everybody, and they had it looked like their universe, like and like the when they introduced Spider Gwen, her when she was in her universe, it looked like the covers of her first comic book run. Hey there, folks. This is your host Dakota Morgan coming right back at you, and I hope you're not tuning out just yet because you can be part of the Comic Chronicle podcast. That's right, you can come on the show. But how do you do such a thing? Well, folks, that is in when we hit our $100 mark on our brand new Patreon page. That's right, we have our own little Patreon page for the Comic Chronicle podcast, where if you donate $1 to $10 a month, tier 1, $1, tier 2, $5, tier 3, that is $10. Now, if we make a $100 mark, then definitely I choose a listener like yourself and bring them on for a comics and coffee talk show. Now, we talk about whatever the listener you may want to know, whichever you want to talk about, folks. It's all up to you. Now, and of course, with each tier, you get fun exclusive prizes. You get your name on the show as well for some of them. You get your own little you as a hero on a Comic Chronicle exclusive comic book cover, online only. And, you know, a lot more other prizes. You know, the Wall of Heroes as well. You get your name on the monthly social media post of the Wall of Heroes. With the $5 and $10 tiers on there only. But your name is on there. The $5 Speedsters and the $10 Vigilantes. Them guys get on there once a month. Big shout out to you guys on the FanCorp social media page. So folks, if you want to be a part of such a thing, go ahead, go to patreon.com/comicchronicle. That's patreon.com/comicchronicle. And I hope to talk to you on the show very soon. And I read that series and I thought it was dope as shit.
That's what we got to get to when we're done with this part.
Right, yeah, there. It's Spider-Gwen itself, herself, was an amazing, she's an amazing, tough-ass, badass woman who I'm so happy they brought in because she's a newer character. She's a newer Spider character. And one that I think deserves so much more, and everyone loves her. She's such a fantastic part of the books. She actually does a thing with Miles. And did you notice how Peter was, though, Like, if you know the books, and you remember how he kills Gwen, and you notice this is an older Peter, and obviously he's getting over it a little bit, but you notice how he was when Miles and Gwen were flirting?
Oh. How he saw kind of like a flash of what could happen?
Not what could, but what did. He saw, if you notice, he was all smiling, and he was all just like, yeah, and he's like, that's adorable, kid. Like, he shipped him. And he supported it because, you know, he knows that Gwen's not going to get killed because she's Spider. And you got Miles and they're young kids. And so he basically saw himself and Miles, and that helped him out a bit too with liking Miles, the character, because he saw with him and Gwen, he's like, I did the same thing. And there's a beautiful moment, though, when they introduce Spider-Gwen in the Spider-Verse event. That's where she first got introduced in the comics. And she meets 616 Peter Parker. And it was the same with her in the books of, yeah, she's like, my Peter Parker died. And then he looked at her, and she's like, Peter was like, and my Gwen Stacy died. And then they say to each other, like, how about we keep an eye out for each other? Agree?
Two halves of the same coin in those two universes right there.
Yes. And, oh, my God, that moment, though, from the Spider-Verse comic.
It was the same, probably identical moment, roles reversed.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know,
kind of put me in a little bit of shock when I heard that and seen that scene.
Which one?
The one you just described.
Oh, from the Spider-Verse comic where, like, yeah. Peter's like, I will protect you. That wasn't in the movie.
No, I wish it was. Movie. I'm talking about the book. That's the one I read. One of the ones I read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful moment, was it not? Like, it... Oh.
I wish they would have put that in the movie, though.
I was bummed. But, yeah, Gwen Stacy, amazing character. Beautifully well done. I love her costume design. I can't believe we didn't forget. We fucking didn't put her in there. But I am hating myself for her, man. I really am.
Shame on you.
I know. I'm a big Gwen Stacy, a Spider-Gwen fan. I want to say Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy's a bitch. She's a bitch. She's a bitch. She's so nice. But there was one Spider-Man story that fucked her entirely, and they choose not to retcon it, and I'm still pissed. Oh. You want to know it?
Yeah, go for it. What is it?
She fucked Norman Osborn and had two kids of his right before she died. That's why Norman killed her and threw off a bridge.
Alright. Yeah. You got a legit reason then.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And the kids were genetically altered, and they came back. They're like, Peter, you're our father. We're going to kill you. And it's like, no, you're Goblin. Green Goblin fucking gave you suits. Here's your Green Goblin suits. And they're like, we're evil. I was like, what the fuck? And Gwen's like, I went to Europe, but I screwed Norman Osborn. And they show it in the comics, too. And his face turns Green Goblin because that's what Peter pictures. Because that's what Peter's thinking is Gwen getting fucked. And they show that in the books. Yay. Thank you, Marvel, for not retconning that.
Damn.
Yeah. Spider-Gwen, better than Gwen Stacy. So sorry for anybody who's a regular Gwen Stacy fan. Till they retcon it, no. No. Yeah, so, fun fact, moving on from that before I get pissed. Yeah.
Gross.
Don't look it up. Just save your guy. I'm just picturing it now, and he's like got his derp face, and then his derp face. No. I'm saving
you. I'm good, bro. I'm saving you.
Fuck that. Yeah. Fuck that. Screw it.
Let's clear the image of that.
Yes, and we're going to go on to... going back to the... I want to...
review what?
I was going to say, sorry. I do want to finish up by saying that before we went to Gwen Stacy was the best voice actors in a long time, other than the Spider-Man family that came in for, like, the other... Like, Peter and... Although, the voice that Peter was a really cool guy. I liked him. And it made sense for being 40 years old. I liked the actor a lot who did it. But... the voice actors who do the villains and everything like that, and different characters like Mary Jane and shit, the best ones are going to be the ones from the PS4 Spider-Man game. Those are hands down my favorite voice actors because they all basically were bred and voiced those characters. Like those, when you think of those characters and you read those characters, that's what you think is the Spider-Man PS4 voice actors. So they're always going to be my favorite. This one came close. With Nick Cage's Spider-Noir, Penny Parker, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen. Spider-Gwen is perfect. Miles, perfect. But, well, no, Miles was really... I liked the young... It was a younger Miles. It suited younger Miles. But yeah, that's what that. Victor, have you played Spider-Man PS4 yet?
No, my finances won't let me.
I feel that. So hard. So hard. But yeah, getting back on it, I do want to finish up. We're going to go on, because man, before we get to the sequel, because sequel's already been announced. It's going to take like 4 fucking years, but the animation, man, we talked a little bit, we covered a little bit of it. Getting more back on track on this, because we got so fucking digressed, is animation. You want to take this one?
Well, I'm not very good at describing these kind of things when it comes to animation. All I know is my best way to describe it was like I did in the beginning. It's just, it almost reminded kind of like a Pixar kind of, but a little more comic booky. Yes. I guess would be my way of putting it.
It was comic book. It was comic. You're right. It was comic.
Straight up. I mean, it was like flipping pages on a big screen.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which is, like we mentioned before, everything it was. But you could tell they took their time. And you could tell that it was fans. Like, the people who made this movie, everyone involved on it, you could tell they were fans. Like, these were the hardcore, dedicated fans who loved the lore, loved everything about it.
You could tell that the people who worked on it were people who read comic books their entire life, for sure.
Oh, God, yes.
For sure. There's, like, literally no argument or question about it all the way.
There's none. And, like, the years that they took to do, which, so well done. Like, no one knew anything about this movie until, like, I think a year ago at best. At best.
No. They brought it up back in, like, 2015, actually.
Did they really?
Yeah, they made one small announcement in 2014, which was kind of, like, not enough to make people believe anything was going to happen. And then a year later in 2015, there was kind of an announcement, like, a bigger announcement, and then people were more kind of, like, hyped for it. And I think they made... no, actually, it was the same announcement in the 2015, actually, that they basically told people, I can't remember word for word what they were saying, but it was on the lines of, like, we are taking our time with this, but because we do want to give you something good.
Hmm.
Yeah, if I find something, I'll look for it, actually, and I'll send it to you and show you.
Yeah, because do you know what, though? I'm 100% with you on it, because I was kind of worried about graduating high school in 2015. So I was because
I do remember when they brought up, like, who the fuck is Miles Morales?
Oh, you were just like, and it's based on Miles Morales. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I was like, because I didn't know who that was, you know?
I feel
it. But I will make a solemn promise, folks. I will actually get back into Spider-Man comics more, and I will read up and catch myself up on this.
It's worth it, and I will give you this.
Because I do love Spider-Man. I really do. He's a badass character all over.
Yeah, you know? He's got... Like, Spider-Man is on the list of top 30 characters in between the big two of DC and Marvel, who's got the best villains. And it's true.
Dude, he's definitely got some interesting villains, for sure.
Oh, God. The best... But there is also the lowest. And the lowest are the... Oh, God. This is weird. I full-heartedly agree on everything just said about animation in this film, which makes me dive into a worrisome factor as we're nearing towards the end of this little talk about it, of Into the Spider-Verse, because I'm scared that because this movie did so well with everything, merchandise, everything, because merchandise fucking sold. Once this movie came out, merchandise was gone off the shelves. And I'm kind of scared for the sequel, because I don't think they're going to take as long of time as they did, and I think they're going to rush it. I could be so wrong.
Don't lose hope on that, man, because, I mean, if they see what they did with this, because, I mean, they box officed, what, $270 million, something like that?
About that.
About $270 million.
Yeah. And then merch, too. Like, we were talking about merch. Merch itself sold.
Yeah. And on top of that, so if they, you know, keep doing the same routine as they do, I mean, they're going to constantly sell. So don't lose hope, man. I mean, hopefully they do take their time.
I'm hoping. Now, I want you to take a guess here, man. We saw the end credit scene. Was there an end credit scene? Well, the end credit scene we did see. We're getting to that in a minute, because that's sequel talk too. Is what do you think the next one's going to be about? Because they gave an assumption or a superb synopsis of what the sequel is going to be about, of who it's going to be based on. What do you think?
I was thinking it looked like, I can't remember the Spider-Man's name, but it looked like the one that he could, like, teleport or something like that.
Partially. I will jump in and say partially. Two characters from the movie itself, from the main film. The main story. It's going to be centered around Miles and Gwen.
Holy shit, I'm literally brain dead right now. Help me out, sir.
What do you mean? Oh, no, you're good. It's like, no, the Spider-Man, the sequel is going to be based on the Miles and Gwen Stacy. It's going to be centered on the Spider-Gwen. It's going to be, because at the end, if you remember right, like towards the end, he's like, and I'm okay with that. And then like the portal opens up and she's like, Miles, you got a minute? And then it's like, yes, you make more of this. Make more, please. And it's like, yes. It was amazing. And they're a cute couple in the comics. For like, I think the last one will need a little bit of time, but they're still pretty adorable. That's going to be the new ship of Marvel. It's like, we ship these
two. Their dates are going to involve crime fighting, you know?
Yeah, universal crime fighting too, like quite literally, multiverse.
Where do you want to fight crime today, sweetie? Oh, I don't know, baby. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, and it's two dimensions, so there you go. So if you guys need space, you literally have a quantum realm. Good luck. And yeah, right. And they had the web of the universal web or the web in there too, and they showed the multiverse. It was like the web, and I'm like,
that's... Oh yeah, the web. It shows the breakdown of the different universes.
Yes, I'm like, it's dope because it's straight from the books.
Yep, that one was actually pretty interesting to see. I heard for myself too.
Yeah.
Remember? Okay, this is kind of cool. I don't know if you knew this, but do you remember from back in the original, you know, Spider-Man the animated series, how the opening credits was him slinging his web and spread it out right there, and then it would say Spider-Man across it?
Yeah.
Did you not know that's what that is? Actually, that's the Universal Web.
Wait, really?
I believe so.
I never heard that before. That's dope. I appreciate that. That is really cool. I like that a lot. Now, we are nearing the end, so I do want to wrap it up a little bit here, but we're going to end off on Mr. Spider-Man from the Wavo, New York, from the future. A very shitty... But you know what, though? As a Spider-Man fan, I should have realized the tie-in, because Alchemex Labs is the people who helped create Spider-Man 2099. In the future.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember right. Because the future is fucked in 2099.
Yeah, that's where freaking Goblin is getting worse too. I believe that's where I saw one.
Yeah.
That was the one I kind of saw. It was a Spider-Man 2099 or whatever. And it was, he was involved. It was Peter Parker somehow got teleported. I can't remember fully because
that was from the cartoon. I remember from the cartoon of what it was.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, then? Because they took the stuff of taking the DNA from Spider-Man characters and whatnot. Yeah, yeah, that was the. He comes from a future where there was a superhero. I know what's the term for it. Not a holocaust. Yeah, a superhero holocaust. They all died, and like they all died. All the supers basically died.
Yeah, because he was fighting Goblin, and Goblin was just, like, literally going from universe to universe, taking DNA from all different Spider-Mans. And
yeah.
You see Spider-Man, you see Spider-Man, Neuer, and, you know, and he's just, yeah, it was actually pretty, it caught my eye, and that's where, you know, I was like, what the fuck,
who is that Spider-Man? Fun fact about the show, people shit on it a lot. I'm like, screw you, it's a good show. Fuck you, it's my childhood Spider-Man, leave me alone. I learned a lot of people from that show. There's so many Marvel characters in there. But Spider-Man 29 is in the end credits scene on this film and kind of says, like, there's going to be more shit coming in. There's going to be universal shit coming in. Spider-Man 2099, which I was thinking, like I said before, Alchemex Labs basically helped create him. I'm like, I forgot about it. Like, I was so into that universe, I forgot. I'm like, there's no way. I was like, I stopped for a split second and it's like, Spider-Man 29? It's like, no. No, it's this too. Like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then, like, at the end, it's like, hey, I'm here. It's like, oh, shit. And he has his AI, and then he goes to, like, the classic, like, this old first cartoon Spider-Man universe, where, like, the man sounds like he was fucking, like, all beefy men combined in the one voice. Hey, I'm Spider-Man. It's like, oh, shit. And it's like, and then, like, it's the best. And he's, like, they get in the pointing match and shit. Like, oh, you pointed at me first. Like, I am Spider-Man, and I need you. And it's like, who are you? And I was like, you pointed first. No, you pointed first. And the fucking cop shows up. And it was so good because it was the same animation, because you could tell because it was the same fucking blue that blended into the sky. And I'm like, that's so good. Like, they really, and it's like, which one do I shoot? Spider-Man, Spider-Man. And it's like J. Jonah Jameson not throughout the movie until the goddamn end. We're like, Spider-Man. This is like, God damn it, JJ.
Oh, man.
So that was perfect. So that was, I think, an epic way to tie off was recreating that meme from the internet of Spider-Man.
That was pretty cool.
Right. So that, anything else you want to talk about, man, in this movie? Because we basically covered it. What it is, all about it.
That was pretty much, that's all I pretty much have on it, honestly. Except the fact I'm going to freshen up some on my own knowledge.
Yeah, shit. It's, and if, I would say, and to everyone out there, if you guys want to go ahead and freshen up on your Spider-Man knowledge or dive more into the world of Marvel, the Ultimate Universe that this Spider-Man's based in, I stick to the Ultimates and Spider-Man, maybe X-Men, it's crazy. Or, you know, just get in more comics in general. Make sure you guys go to your local comic book store, wherever you may at, Victor, you too. And just go in, sign up, and they usually almost always give you a discount on stuff when you get a box open up, so you get new issues and shit like that. Or go to the back issues. Back issues are usually 50 bucks, 50 cents to a dollar. And there are older issues I always like back issues because people are like, oh, no, they're shitty. It's like, no, but every comic can be a good – it's on the scale. It can be lower on the scale, but every comic can be an interesting story at least. The lowest it can be is interesting. It's not going to be terrible. It's just be interesting. Or it can be epic. This is all up to you, the reader. But make sure you guys can do that. You know, you don't have to sign up at the local comic book store. Just go to the back issues. Or if you don't have one near you, which is possible, make sure you guys go check out. Just go on the Marvel website, Marvel app, or on the website itself. You know, if you get the Marvel app on your phone or whatever like that, sign up on there and you can buy books off of there, new and old. They got a huge collection library, but I recommend getting the floppies a little bit more.
Right, myself as I, man.
See, so go to the fucking comic book store, Victor.
Flip them pages, folks.
Yes, yes. And especially, you know,
ain't nothing better than a good feel of a good comic book between your fingers at every turn.
There's really not. And I can't.
Up a hot Joe in the other hand.
Yeah. Ooh, comics and coffee. I like that. And that's why you're co-host. That's why you're co-host, man. Yeah. Oh, God.
But no, for real, I honestly, you know, you got my word on that one. I'm definitely going to get back into reading some more of those again, for sure.
You'll always be fascinated. And anybody out there, too, who wants to go and dive into Spider-Man, always.
Even though it's been a while, even folks, honestly, don't be ashamed of it. Don't let people get you down for reading.
No, screw them. Yeah, I just say, do what you love, but do what makes you happy. Escape into different worlds. That's why I work in movies and do stuff with comics, escape into different worlds. But diving right back in before we get on the emotional tangent again, right in is, so Victor, you recommend this movie to people?
I do, actually, especially you know, people with kids, go take them,
and especially enjoy. I want your opinion, though. You told me this was your daughter is her first Spider-Man movie. Are you happy with that?
Very.
You're happy that this is her first Spider-Man. Like, out of all the Spider-Man movies that are out there, like, excluding shows and shit, just the movies, would you say this would be, if no one's ever seen anything Spider-Man before, would you show this to them first? That's okay, what happened.
Okay, now, if you want my honest opinion, then no.
No.
No. I would honestly, if you really want to show anything Spider-Man first, it should be the animated series first.
Well, no, just movies. Just movies.
Just movies.
Yeah, just movies. Because that's what happened. So it's like, so you're happy with knowing that your daughter, this is her first Spider-Man movie. And
Yeah, because even though Tobey Maguire's was good and Tom Holland's is good, and no then, offense to Andrew Garfield, he's the lowest on my list. No offense to him. I would say, yeah, cartoony wise for kids, for my personal opinion, though, this would actually be the first one.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick to that.
Yeah, so I respect that entirely. I don't have kids, so I don't even know him, but I don't have anybody in my life that doesn't know anything Spider-Man by now.
But now I would end up being older, but if I had kids earlier in life, then you know, lived in a different time and whatever, then of course maybe be set in a different situation. But yeah. You know, in this time frame, you know, wise, and yeah.
It's true. It's so true. But so you recommend this for some people to watch too?
Yeah. Like seriously, it's a mixture of feelings, like laughs, cries, lots of more laughs, and definitely action packed for an animated Spider film that I got. I was actually just happy to see another animated Spider film.
And a lot more death, especially when Prowler died. It was scary the shit out of me.
It was pretty dark for a cartoon, too, I would have to say.
There was that millisecond, dude, I'm not even going to lie to you, and a lot of people felt this, is when Prowler was found out, which we didn't really talk about, but some things I guess we can say. Is when Prowler, like, he's got Miles, he fucking finds out that it's Miles, and shit, Miles like, oh, I'm cold. And it's like, he throws out his mask, Miles, and like, fucking Kingpin's like, just kill him. And it's like, Kingpin's just like, just kill him. Kill the kid. Like, he just immediately doesn't even say anything, but kill the kid. And it's like, fuck! And it's like, oh god, this is Kingpin. And like, and he just shoots Prowler. But there's that moment right before he shoots him and brings him back on the roof, like, he puts down his mask. And like, right after Kingpin says, kill him, kill it, Prowler. I says, he puts down Miles, and Miles is like, oh shit. And like, for like, guys, a couple seconds, I was like, he's gonna try to fucking kill him. I guess he's like, oh, I can't watch your face. It's like, murder. I'm like, oh shit, this movie turned really dark. Oh right. God. And it's like, and it got emotional, you know, with Miles' dad. And you know, it's with his dad and his mom and shit too, which I like that. Bendis did a really good job on that. That's what I really liked about his Brian Michael Bendis when he created it. He was not like, here's another white Spider-Man. It's like, no. His mom is Latina, and his dad's African American. It's like, cool. That's really fucking neat. I fucking love that. And it's like, you know, I grew up with so many people with those families, like a mixed family and shit like that. You know, they're like, we don't ever have a superhero. Well, now you do. And that's what I love about this movie, and I really recommend it to everyone. So you guys gotta go watch it. Me and Victor both agree. Is watch it. And the message goes, people, is that anyone can wear that fucking mask. Anybody can be a hero. And always, I want to keep pushing that because always remember that. That's what Spider-Man's message has always been. But Miles cements that into the ground. And this movie cements it. You know, you got Spider-Gwen, you got Spider-Noir, you got Penny Parker, Spider-Ham. Anybody can do it, man. Anybody can be a hero.
Fucking Spider-Ham.
God damn it. Why? It's like, why? It's just, we had this emotional moment, Victor, and you're just like, but Spider-Ham. It's like, God damn it.
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh at that.
That was really good. That was really good, actually. It's like, oh my god, my mom's dead. But Spider-Ham. It's like, oh shit. You know Spider-Ham's mallet, though? And it's like, yeah. Oh, fuck. All right, man. So we're going to end the show here. It's been another episode of the Comics and Coffee talk show segment on the Comic Chronicle podcast. And I want to say, folks, is that we got huge fucking things coming into the show very soon here. And another huge thing is Victor's now officially a co-host, as we said in the beginning. So expect more of him on discussions and whatnot when we bring him on.
Nice. So, yeah. Well, folks, just enjoy your life, and seriously, go see that movie, pick up some comic books.
If you haven't seen the movie, though, and you've listened to this, you're an idiot. But, just going to put that out there. But, yeah, pick up, like Victor said, pick up comics. But Victor, we got to give it out, man. Social media. You know how it goes.
That's right. Yeah. So if you guys want to keep in contact, just keep, I'll be checking the comment sections and on YouTube and on the Fancore Network, and also you can contact me personally through Facebook, Victor Hudgens, Victor Lilia Hudgens on Facebook, or just at Victor Hudgens on Twitter.com.
Yep. And if you guys want to follow Comic Chronicle and all its fun stuff, then you guys can go ahead and follow at Real Fancorp on Twitter, Instagram, Fancorp Network on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe to whatever you're listening to on Podbean.com or iTunes, and soon to be more. And one out as well, too. So make sure you guys stay listening and you guys follow the network because it's well worth your time. And stay tuned with everything Comic Chronicle because we got some interviews coming up here. I'm really fucking excited for them. And we're always going to do more Comics and Coffee with different subjects. Victor's going to be our main guy for Comics and Coffee, folks, unless we got someone special coming on. Victor, can you handle it?
I can handle it, folks.
Fuck yeah. That's what we like to hear, man.
That's what I love. All right. In my case, folks, what I like to say is bri bri e bri bri. That's all, folks.
And stay classy, New York City. Are we allowed to say that legally?